Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the homily this morning is recorded in St. Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. We are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. This is our text. Dear friends in Christ, many of you, but not enough, have read in a religion class The Hammer of God by the Swedish pastor and bishop Bo Hjertz. The book is composed of three stories set in the 18th, 19th, and 20th centuries. All of them are about young pastors who have fallen into a distorted form of Christianity and follow the philosophical and spiritual trends of the day with sorry results. In one of those stories, young pastor Friedfeldt is sent to the Yiddisha parish in Sweden to be an assistant to an older pastor, the rector. At the outset, this smart young man comes to the conclusion that the older pastor isn't really Christian because he lacks the proper level of spiritual enthusiasm and zeal. He drinks brandy and he plays with a little set of horses and soldiers on an army field. And so he is to be judged. And so Friedfeldt sets out to set the old fuddy-duddy straight. He ostentatiously announces, "I just want you to know, Pastor, that I am a believer." And the old man asks, "Well, what is it that you believe?" And Friedfeldt hems and haws a little bit, and then he says, "I'm just a believer," as though to say, "And you don't know what a believer is?" The old man then says, "Well, I just want to know what it is that you believe in." And Friedfeldt replies, "In Jesus, of course. So far, so good." But then he goes on, "I have given him my heart." And then the old man bores in. "Oh, do you think that that's something to give him?" Friedfeldt says, "If you do not give Jesus your heart, you can't be saved." The old man replies, "Well, if you think you are saved by giving Jesus your heart, that is to say, by something you do, you will not be saved. One does not choose a redeemer for oneself." And then he goes on to say that the heart is like a rusty old tin can in a scrap heap, not a worthy gift for the Lord. Rather, the Lord comes by, has mercy on the rusty old tin can, picks it up from the junk heap, and takes it home with him, and then it becomes something of value. And so, the human song, "I'd rather do it my way." The deep corruption of our hearts and the arrogance that St. Paul is speaking to here in this lesson. We hear St. Paul say, "God from the beginning chose you for salvation, for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for obtaining the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's a lot like the word that Jesus spoke to his disciples the night before his crucifixion. You didn't choose me. I chose you. And that means that in either case, it's purely by grace. It's God's doing. I was not there when he chose me. I was not there to do anything, nor did I have a heart or a mind which could want to come to God. The apostle writes elsewhere, he chose us in him before the creation of the world. That's grace. He chose me. He chose you. He wanted us. He also has the power to bring it about that I should be his and trust his promise. Paul says that he has done this through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. Now, most of the time when we hear the word sanctification, we hear it in a very narrow sense. That is, we think about the outward Christian life, the life of good works, the pious devotion of the believer. And it does, in some cases, mean that. But actually, more often, when the word sanctification is used in the Bible, it is used for something much bigger. It starts with that choosing that took place in eternity, and it continues as he preserves me in this life and finally takes me to eternal glory. Sanctification means that I am holy, that I stand before God as a holy, righteous, perfect saint, without any evil or corruption in me. That's the opposite of what I see in myself. The sanctification is not because I have invited him into my heart, but the sanctification takes place because he has invited himself into my heart. God sees me through Christ's righteousness and holiness, and he brings me to trust in that gracious promise. And he decided to do all of this in eternity. That righteousness of sanctification or holiness I have, not by my own work, not by my own doing, not by my own goodness, but only because of Christ's righteous goodness and the work of the Holy Spirit who has brought me to faith. We have learned to confess in Luther's Small Catechism the explanation of the third article, this truth. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the one true faith. And that is what St. Paul teaches us here. He called you by our gospel. That is the gospel that Christ himself commissioned St. Paul to preach, along with the other apostles. That's the gospel of forgiveness and the promise of eternal life in Christ, which we have in the preaching of God's word of forgiveness, in the Holy Scripture, and in the sacraments. We call it the means of grace. It's the gospel that sends you never to your own works, never to your own pious Christian life or emotional fervor, never to your own good intentions. It's the gospel that proclaims to you the forgiveness of sins in Christ and gives you the righteousness of Christ in place of your own works. To him alone be the glory. For our prayer this morning, we turn to page 151 in the fourth part of the hymnary. And we pray together prayer number 33. Page 151, number 33. Please rise. Lord God, Heavenly Father, through your only word, you have called us into the vineyard, and we beseech you, Holy Spirit, into our hearts, that we may labor faithfully in your vineyard, shun sin and all offense, obediently keep your word and do your will, and put our whole and only trust in your grace, which you have bestowed upon us abundantly through your Son, Jesus Christ, that we might obtain eternal salvation through him, lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever.